Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me pray. Jesus, yeah, thanks. I love you. Just welcome your presence. And for you to say what you want to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Do you want me to use? Okay, this mic is for live stream. Okay, do y'all want me to use the mic? Okay, I'll talk loud. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to Josh and Tiffany for inviting me to speak. Like, it means a lot, and I want to honor you in that. So thank you very much. And my friends for coming and being my cheer team. Pom-poms, yeah. So love y'all. So I'm Geraldine. I'm a friend of Josh and Tiffany's. I'm so grateful to be here. And I want to speak to you today about your sanctified imagination. If you know me at all, you know I talk about my sanctified imagination a lot. And so I just want to talk about that, talk about the word, about both the word, the scripture that supports that our imagination has been sanctified by God, and testimonies, because we love the power of testimony. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so at the end, we are going to have an activation, and I'll have handouts that I'll have Josh pass out at the end. Also, there's going to be some times when I would like some interaction with my audience that's present. So thank you. All right, we're going to start with John 14:21 in the Passion Translation. Okay, so I'm going to read to you John 14:21. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love him in return and will reveal myself to him. So the key thing I wanted to highlight there is will reveal myself to him, and I'm actually going to read the footnote on that. The verb translated reveal is used in John's gospel only here and in the following verse. Exodus 33:13 is the only other one it's used in. It is used of a special divine manifestation. I will reveal myself to him is more than merely showing him who I am. It means I will personally come to him. So Jesus, we thank you that you will personally come to us. And I just pray for this intimate revelation of you to us individually and personally to every person who's hearing this message. What is written in your word, that personal revelation is theirs. And so I just bless them to receive it, and we thank you for it. Amen. So in 2009, I settled on the floor of my bedroom closet with my Bible and was reading through the Gospels. I was searching out a story of Jesus on which I could meditate, but not in the traditional understanding of meditate, such as to memorize or to speak over and over or to ponder. I was seeking something specific. I was seeking to picture a scene in my mind's eye, my imagination, with the intention of encountering Jesus in the scene. I settled on the story in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Matthew 26:36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." So closing my eyes, I imagined a stone bench alongside a crushed gravel path. And as I pictured myself sitting on this stone bench, and I was surveying my surroundings in this image in my mind, and I saw small trees and bushes and an arid setting. I didn't see anybody else in my picture, in my imagination. And I sat with this image in my mind for a few minutes. And I can still picture that same image in my mind today. I can recall it as a memory laid down. After a few minutes, I invited Jesus into this scene. From my left, he walked up the crushed gravel path. He stopped and he turned to face me, sitting on the bench. Shocked, I shouted, "You're alive! You're alive! This changes everything." Well, of course he was alive. I knew about the death and resurrection for my own salvation. I believed it. I'd placed my trust in him. I'd been singing, "He's alive, he's alive," in church my entire life, every Easter. But this, encountering him, manifesting himself to me personally, individually, in my imagination, changed everything. Yeah. So words paint pictures. You use your imagination to picture something in your mind that you don't currently see with your natural eyes. It's part of your thought process. So I want each of you right now to actually take a minute. You may need to close your eyes. And I want you to count the number of doors to your house. I want you to count the doors that move from inside to outside and doors to bedroom. But please don't count like pantries and closets. But I want everybody to do that activation right now. Not closets, though. Okay. How did you count the doors in your house? You saw them. You walked through it. Yeah. So you pictured them as you walked through your house. That's your imagination at work. That is literally your imagination at work. You can recall so that you've actually seen your house before. You can walk through it in your mind and count them. Merriam-Webster's definition of imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or so your house was present to your senses, but everybody else is not in their house, so it's not currently present to their senses, or never before wholly perceived in reality. Yeah. So you can form a mental image of something never before wholly perceived in reality. So if I were to say to you, picture an apple. Does anybody here see apple? Or do you see a red round fruit? Yeah. So you have a picture of an image in your mind of what that is. If I say picture a dog. Okay, now picture a very big dog. Did your image change? Did anybody here's image change? Yeah. Yeah, because your first dog that you pictured wasn't very big. So with the words, I can invite you to then picture in your imagination that item. But nobody pictured B-I-G-D-O-G, right?
No.
Okay. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Our imagination is a gift from him. Inventors, architects, artists, people use their imagination every day. The imagination itself is not evil. It can become captive to evil images. And the Bible speaks of that as vain imaginations. We'll talk about that more later. However, you as a born-again believer, your spirit is a whole new creation in Christ Jesus. And from your spirit flow images from God's spirit and your spirit and from Holy Spirit. We can choose to renew our mind and meditate on and imagine truths of scripture and allow Jesus and Holy Spirit to flow into our imagination. So that letting the truth of scripture come alive and become personal as Jesus revealed himself to me has changed everything for me, for my walk, for the way I live. Jesus would actually give me pictures of truth individually and specifically to me And one time he said to me, I was laying on the couch, just soaking in him. And he said, you're young, strong, healthy, and beautiful. And I was like, okay. And then he said to me, now I want you to go find a scripture to support each of those statements. And I did. And he's like, because they're true. It's what's true about you. So he's making scripture come alive and become personal. So I wanted to give you a specific testimony from my childhood that in 2011, I went to Charis Bible College, which you'll hear me refer to sometimes because it was so impactful in my life. And it was in a time of soaking worship. And so we were just sitting there worshiping. And in my mind, the image of my childhood home and my entryway popped up. So actually the Holy Spirit was bringing up a memory. In that memory, it was the day that my parents told me that my father was moving out for good. I was 8 years old. And it was, what I could remember in my natural was it took them a while to get me to understand that he was leaving for good and then being devastated. My memory of it in the natural was I went in my bedroom and cried for 3 days, which I know I didn't do, but that's what it felt like. So in this time of soaking worship, Jesus brought up that image and it's got my father, my mother, my brother, and me in the picture. And he walks in to the image and he picks up little girl me and he holds me to himself. And then he says this, I will never, 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 ever, ever leave you or forsake you. I was so healed in that moment. Now that memory in the natural does not go back to its original memory and the emotion associated with it. Every single time it goes to the healed memory with the presence of Jesus. And every single time I hear like Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is not in my head as I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. That is so down in my spirit. There's just no question. It's like laid down, made personal. The scripture made personal to me. Thank you, Jesus. The imaginations that are meditated upon, like the images from Jesus, from heaven, from the Holy Spirit, that are meditated on become vision for us. You know the scripture, without a vision, the people perish. You know, the Wright brothers had to have their imagination vividly at work to picture all the things that they were going to do before they actually built an airplane. So the vision then produces actions that actually manifest into something that's released. I wanted to talk about how powerful the imagination is, like our God-given imagination. In the Genesis 11:6, when God was speaking of the Tower of Babel, it said, the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. That's how much value God puts on the power of the imagination given from him into us, created in his image and his likeness. So such that he had to scatter their languages. Also, you know, in the scriptures, it talks about in the time of Noah, man's imaginations was full of wickedness. And the interesting thing is in Genesis 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. So isn't it interesting that God doesn't say that every action was full of wickedness? It's because what there is going on in their thoughts of their heart and in their imagination is producing wickedness. That's what was the fruit of it. But he's like, their thoughts, their imaginations of their heart are full of wickedness. Because in Proverbs 23:7, we know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What's coming out of what they're picturing and they're meditating on. So I wanted to also just talk about the Hebrew root word, Yetzer. And it's in Isaiah 26:3, which is beautiful. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, Yetzer, is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And I have also several other scriptures that I'm not going to read where Yetzer is used. But Yetzer means a form, figuratively, conception, like conception for a purpose, a frame, imagination, mind, and work. So another way the Hebrew word Yetzer is expressed is in conception or a purpose, grabbing hold of the vision of who you are and the vision for your life. So your imagination, because that word, like conception, that kind of basically means your imagination is almost like a spiritual womb for a place where the word of God shows you who you are and brings to fullness things that he's partnering with you, that he's given you to do, and let them come forth there. And again, that's like as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so we behold the word of God in a mirror. That's how we know what's true about our spirit. So you know the foundational teaching of spirit, soul, and body. So our born-again self is our spirit. Our spirit finds out who it is in the word of God. Those scriptures that you read, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, clearly, I am physically in Josh and Tiffany's house. So that's not the part of me seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's my spirit. And so we behold in the word of God what's true of our spirit. Then Jesus brings that to life. And as we meditate on it in images, just like he brought to life that he would never forsake me and brought healing to a memory. So another testimony that I want to give you in this place that was really significant for me, Jesus, and this one was more recent in the last 6 months. So there's been times in the past where in my imagination, he'll show me and him pictured in heaven, and he'll walk up and he'll put like a robe around me. And you know, like when we release a word of blessing or prophecy over somebody, we'll say, I see you crowned, or I see a robe around you. Well, those things mean something. It's a robe of righteousness. And so that day when I was praying, Jesus said, come on, let's go to the, I'm in my imagination with him. I'm picturing him. He's like, come on, let's go to the throne room room. That's what he called it, the throne room room. And it's like a storage room for all things needed for a throne room. So he opens this and he goes in there, and there's like, you know, scepters and thrones and all these, you know, different things in there. And he's like, you know, throne, nope, don't need that. Robe, nope, don't need that. Crown, got that. So he's kind of going through this room. And then all of a sudden he reaches and he pulls this full length stand mirror that's like framed, and he sets it in front of me. And I see in the image of the mirror a beautiful woman robed in like bridal white, like beautiful white. And she's radiant. Like she herself is actually like glowing. And I say out loud in the natural, I'm saying, as I'm seeing this picture, she is radiant. She is glorious. She's beautiful. And then it hits me. She is me. And I'm like, and then Jesus pops his head out from behind the mirror, and he's like grinning at me. And I'm like, Jesus, that's me. That's the thing. Those truths are true about me, about my spirit, which is who I truly am. But he's making it real and personal so that I can live from there and walk from that place. Because the things of this earth, they're like sticky gum on the bottom of your shoe. You're like, you know, all the time feeling that, you know? And so you have to be able to have a place where you can go back and go, oh, wait, this is what's true about me. So I can bring that image up of my mirror. Oh, yes, that's what's true about me. Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted to keep going on this topic about imagination. Imagination plays a significant role in your life in producing hope. Bible hope is, and I love this definition, a confident expectation of good from God that will come to pass. And I learned that in my Bible college. And when I was in my first year, I had been, I'd been a born-again believer since I was 8, but I had been trying harder to be a good Christian and never feeling like I was good enough for a lot of years. And it was in Bible college that all that was turned around as I heard fresh everything Jesus paid for. But one of the things I learned there was this definition. And I remember before that, I used to think, well, because I believe this, we're supposed to live from miracle to disaster to miracle to disaster, or you're on the mountaintop now, but the valley's what's next, you know, which is a traditional belief that is not true. So anyway, I used to think today is good, but you know, tomorrow, you never know what's going to happen. So I had an expectation of bad things happening. And there's no hope in that. And there's no place for faith hardly in there at all. And so I would get up in the morning and I would say, today, God, I have a confident expectation of good from you that will come to pass. Even as I said it, my emotions would go, you know, oh, you think that's true? The enemy. Oh, you think that's true? You think that applies to you? But I've said it anyway, because it's God's word. It's truth. And I was learning to value his word over my temporal emotional state, which, you know, the beautiful thing is he created us with emotions, and in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's what he intended for me to experience. But I had to learn to value his word in that place. So hope is meditation on God's truth, seeing good things from God in your heart and mind's eye, picturing your future good with peace, wholeness, health, provision, the things that he's paid for. An example of Abraham in Genesis 15:5, and God took Abraham outside and he said, look toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be. And then in Genesis 22, he says, in blessing, I will bless you. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. So if you think about it, like every single time he's stepping out on that sand, or every night when he's looking up at the stars, he's thinking of that promise. And then he's letting the picture of his descendants come into his mind. So it's no longer stars. It's now my descendants. That's developing in his mind. He's being able to see his descendants, such that in Romans, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. So his faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years old, he figured his body was as good as dead. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So Abraham saw his descendants in his mind's eye, and it produced enough hope that it produced faith and an assurance that was so strong in him that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. That's how confident he was in what he received. So hope is the place where our faith is activated. But you actually have to have a confident expectation of good from God to have hope, and then that be a place where faith is activated. And so you know Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen with the natural eye yet. And you know that our victory is our faith. Our victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So I wanted to talk about also, there's an ability to limit God in your life, just like I was limiting God in my life when I expected bad. The Israelites limited God when they did not recall the great works that he had done to deliver them and see hope for their future. So in Psalm 78:41, it says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. So they were not keeping before them that expectation of good, recalling, like I can recall the memories of the things that Jesus has shown me, and those produce faith in me. They produce hope for my future. So I wanted to give you another testimony, and this, I'll try to make it shorter. This is my friend's testimony, and this actually came out of this teaching about the power of your imagination. So going back in 2012, my friend had a young son who was diagnosed with metastatic Ewing's sarcoma. The original source of a tumor was in his foot. From the very outset of the diagnosis, the Lord spoke strongly to her. Do not research the diagnosis. Do not look it up on the internet. Do not read about it. Don't. And so she didn't. And she stayed in the Word of God. And this was a journey over, you know, a season, like about a year and a half, that she was on with God, hungering for his healing. I was in Bible college, so I started sharing with her the teachings that I was receiving about the truth of everything Jesus paid for on the cross. And so she started listening to Andrew Womack's teachings online. So she had listened to his teaching on the power of the imagination. At that time, the doctor's treatment plan was to amputate the foot and then do chemo and radiation. And she was crying out to God, and she asked him, God, give me a vision so that I can see how you see him, how he is. And he did. He gave her a vision of her son standing on their diving board in their backyard with both whole legs up like this, diving into the pool. And the time that Jesus gave it to her, she shouted out loud, praise Jesus. So she held on to that vision as she continued the healing journey with her son. And they had sought a second opinion at a world famous cancer treatment center. So from July of 2012, this is now March of 2013, they were there at the appointment. And I'm actually going to read you this text because it's so powerful. All of you prayer warriors, our God is a mighty God. Thank you for your faithful prayers and passing on the prayer requests. We got our miracle. Thank you, Father. I feel so overwhelmed with thanksgiving. I am crying happy tears. It looked hopeless in the beginning of our appointment, but halfway through, the wind shifted. I can't even explain it. The doctor agreed to do radiation to the foot with no surgery at all, no amputation. They will continue to monitor as long as the tumor does not come back. They are happy with that. And she sent that, and I can remember where I was standing when she sent that, like outside of our homeschool co-op, and we're just crying. And that image was a part of the healing journey, but it was a significant part that God gave her to see her son whole. And he is 2021 now, perfectly healed and whole, complete in Christ. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So I just wanted to support in scripture about your imagination being sanctified by the word of truth. So as a born-again believer, John 7, 38 and 39, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So out of your heart, the Holy Spirit flows, and that those images are flowing from Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things. So your imagination has become new. Your thoughts, your visions, all of that has become new. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he will hear, whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, that he will show you things to come. Okay, so he's guiding you into all truth and showing you things to come. So again, that's a place where this imagination is a womb for him to allow things to be birthed that are to come in your union with Christ, in your future together with Christ. And 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor it is entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So Holy Spirit is searching God's thoughts about you. And we know all his thoughts about us are peace. He's searching the deep things of God and releasing those through his flow into your own thoughts. And then I wanted to also give you Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. In that one, eyes, the first word eyes is ophthalmos, like ophthalmologist, the eye, the eyes of the mind. But the understanding is dianoia, deep thought, the faculty of the mind, imagination, understanding. So again, your imagination is enlightened that you can know the hope of your calling. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Are y'all doing okay? Okay, good. Good. So I want to talk briefly about vain imaginations. And from my own life, I touched my microphone. Sorry. I think the thing that was most, that the Holy Spirit's pointed out to me as a mom is whenever, even like from the beginning, when you get pregnant, all of a sudden, all these thoughts, what happens to this? What happens with the baby? Oh my gosh, what happened? And then your friend tells you their story about their bad birth and this and that. Yeah. You know, and then when they're little and they're climbing that, you know, ladder to go down that giant slide and you're, and especially when they're going to go drive the car for the first time without you and they're walking out the door, the enemy wants to bring every thought of they're going to crash, you know, they're going to kill somebody, they're going to do this. Those are vain imaginations. We already know the truth that God's given us to speak over our children. We already know that the seed of the righteous will be delivered. We already know that he has appointed his angels charge of them to guard them in all their ways. And so in that place, the enemy wants to bring a thought that then you start to meditate on. And then you start to play it like a movie in your mind. And then your emotions are like a mess. And then you're, next thing you know, you're snapping at your husband. And he's thinking, what did I do? Yeah. He can testify to that. Yeah. But that's what happens with vain imaginations. Those things are not true. They're not true for the son and daughter of God. That's not our future. And we're not going to partner with that future. But we do have an active role in pulling down those vain imaginations. So out of Romans 1:21, this is the bad side. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. And so that imaginations there, in the Greek is logismos, computation, reasoning, conscious imagination, thought. So when they let those thoughts get carried away with them, they became vain, which is actually to render passive, foolish, wicked. So you actually just almost give up. It's like God's in charge. So just let whatever happen, happen. It's like you become passive in your thinking. It's vain imagination. And then their heart was darkened because their expectation was only of that. And that's not what the son and daughter of God were created to be for. We already know that the devil is a liar and all he can say is lies. So those thoughts that are coming are lies and they're countered with truth from his word. We hold up our shield of faith, being confident in God's goodness to us. So right there, I want to give you another testimony. This one is also back from 2011 from my first year in Karis. Again, it was a soaking worship time. And in this image, I pictured myself coming in to the throne room of God as a little girl about 4 years old. And you know that play plastic armor you all buy your kids that are the, you know, spiritual armor play set? So in this picture, I'm coming into the throne room with my plastic armor play set on, and I look at God and I'm so angry at him. And I said, why did you do this to me? Why did you send me out there in the world with this plastic armor? And he said back to me, I didn't do that to you. Man did. And all that armor fell off of me. And then he patted his knee and he said, come on, baby, come up here in my lap. And I ran into my daddy's lap. And I've lived there ever since. I live from my father's lap. And whenever I need to go to my father's lap, I go there. I will stop and I will say, Daddy, I need you to love on me right now. Right now, Daddy. Or I need you to hold me. And I'll picture his big right arm coming around me and holding me real tight. He invited me, even previous to that scene, he invited me to come dwell with him. One day when I was just meditating on Psalm 91, come dwell with me, you know? And that's what it is to dwell with him. So where am I dwelling with him? In my imagination. But it's not a childhood fantasy. It's not a vain imagination. It's a God-given, Holy Spirit-driven encounter with his presence that changes my life. It's my connection to him. So I'm able to just be there with my father whenever I need. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I'm going to take a drink of water. All right. So I was going to also add there 2 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's that logismos again. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So as I was sitting with Holy Spirit, I was having a conversation because I was telling Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes I just say, I take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I just say it. You know, a lot of times I just stop. And literally I just want to like put a stop sign up. Stop! When that darkened thought or that thought of doom wants to come. And you know when you're like really, really exhausted is when it wants to come and land. That's a time that I just, sometimes I'm just like, no, like just stop. And I'll just get up and either go ask Jeff to pray for me or go for a walk or go, you know, put on worship. So there are things that we do. But as I asked Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know as far as teaching about how to just stop these vain imaginations? And so Holy Spirit took me to that same scripture, but in the Passion Translation. So, and I'm going to read it from there, the 2 Corinthians. It's actually just verse 5. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy or citadels of argumentations, which include fantasies, that oppose God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God, truly knowing him and his goodness. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought or every scheme. But in his notes, the author is saying, Paul is using the concept of taking prisoners of war. But in this case, the prisoner held captive are faulty patterns of thought that defy God's authority and insist that it bow in obedience to the anointed one. And so Holy Spirit was bringing to my mind, those faulty patterns of thought are actually broken as we renew our minds. You know, Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Okay, the pattern of this world is like, open your little news app and hear about doom and gloom and agony on me, you know, and just that's the pattern of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, this truth coming into you as a seed, producing fruit, and then getting made personal. Made intimate in a revelation of Jesus in your sanctified imagination. So I like this statement. I forget which one of the old guys said it, Kenneth Hagin or something. I don't remember which one. A bird may try to land, but don't let it make a nest. So those thoughts, those fiery darts of the wicked one, it may try to land, but don't let it make a nest. So that's why we don't dwell on it. Also in Philippians 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you know, you think about or meditate things on true, honest, good, just, pure, lovely. That's an intentional act on our part to be in worship, to be listening to teaching from, you know, teachers of the word that are releasing those things, being listening to the good report, listening to testimonies, Those are all things that you're hearing that are producing hope and faith in you. Okay, so we have come to activation time. So Josh, will you pass out my activation sheets? 3-0. Okay. Holy Spirit's so good. No, just that there's, I just had that as extra. It makes sense. I brought pencils too. Sharpened pencils. Yeah, those are like my homeschool stash from way back. I know. Thank you. And actually, for your virtual audience, I can email you a copy of the activation. And like you can post it. Okay. So thank you, Jesus, that you are already intentionally revealing yourself to us personally. We just welcome you to do that now. We're so grateful. Okay, so I hear Jesus saying, just before we move on, I hear him inviting me to give you one more testimony before we go into activation. So if you know me, you know that I love seahorses. Like love, love, love seahorses. People give me seahorses. My car keys have a seahorse on them. That actually came from, I like the ocean anyway. I've always liked the beach. But, you know, seahorses are the only male that carries the babies in their womb. And after I'd had that encounter of getting up in my papa's lap, Papa told me, he's so cute. He said, now, Gerlin, he said, I want you to get in my womb. And he's like, this got this big giant belly. And he like pushes me in there. And he says, I want you to get in there. And I want you to drink of the milk of my pure love. And so I used to picture myself swimming around inside God's giant womb, where it's full of the milk of his pure love. And he was so intentional to say to me, when you come to the kingdom, you come as a little child. You come as a little child. So he's like, this is after Charis, after I learned to leave my try harder, not good enough life and came into this intimate union with him. And he's now daddy to me. And he's like, you stay there. You keep yourself in the love of God. That's from Jude. And so I would picture myself swimming around in him, drinking of the milk of his pure love. And so there was a season that I focused intensely on God's love for me. And it's still one of the key things that I talk about. Anyway, so because the daddy seahorse carries the baby seahorses, and God put me in his womb where I drank from the milk of his pure love, that's why I love seahorses. It's symbolic to me of being there in my dad's womb, which I know like doesn't make any sense in the natural, which is why it's not about the natural, but it's true from his word, you know, that I'm born of him. And as his little child, he wants me to experience his love. What do parents do for their little infants? What is the number one thing you do? You're meeting all their needs and you're loving them and you're pouring into them love so that they're secure. And that's what he had me do. Okay, so now activation. We know that anything that we're receiving from the kingdom of God or from the kingdom should bring us righteousness, peace, joy, and hope. And so in this activation, whatever you're experiencing, I'm expecting that it's going to bring you, you know, right understanding of God, peace, joy, and hope. You know what? I'm going to get my own copy. So. And I made it so that y'all could take it home with you. So I had re-put the scripture that we were using as our key verse, John 14:21. Oh, this is when I wanted that music. Okay. It's a quiet though. So I'm going to give y'all some time in the activation to sit with Jesus. So expect to see Jesus in a spontaneous image in your imagination and just quiet yourself and focus on him. We're going to start in his word and let it be a gateway. One of the key things that I love to use as my gateway to connecting with his presence is the promise from Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. And so I do that by just saying, Jesus, am I your child? So I would invite you to do that now. Just ask him, Jesus, am I your child?